Hey everyone, and welcome back to But Why the Podcast, the podcast where me, Adrian, and Matt talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, we just wanted to tell you to head on over to all of our social media and get involved in our conversations. Check out our Twitter at ButWhyThoughPC and our Facebook, facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. Also, we're Twitch affiliates now, so you can sub to us, watch a stream, get access to funny noises when we're playing. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can do. Come spend your nights with us while we play games at twitch.tv/ButWhyThoughPC. And while we're on that note, we are actually raising money for Stack Up, the military gaming charity that empowers veterans through the power of gaming. So if you have anything you can donate, donate it to them. Head on over to our Twitch channel and click on the Stack Up logo. Click that, it'll send you to the donation page, and you can help out a great cause and a great organization that we've covered in our Missions That Matter episode, which you can go back and listen to find out more. And as always, enjoy the show. Deadpool 2, which came out on May 18th. As always, I'm your host, Kate. I'm here with Adrian.
Hi, Kate.
And Matt.
Hello.
What's that?
I lowered my voice. I need wrong a radio movie. Voice. Because okay. I'm hyped for the giant 360 that Kate's about to pull. Or 180.
360, so I'm going to end up in the same position?
No, that's why I changed it to 180.
Okay. Yeah, so let's talk about Deadpool. So Deadpool 2 is the second in the Deadpool franchise. It is rated R. It is a movie on the comic book character.
It's a movie?
It's a movie, guys. And it's about a foul-mouthed mutant mercenary, Wade Wilson, also known as Deadpool. And he brings together a team of fellow mutant rogues to protect a young boy with supernatural abilities from the brutal time-traveling cyborg, Cable.
Gotta save the boy.
That's what Deadpool does. He saves the boy. He doesn't want Cable to kill the boy, even though it's one life, and Cable's like, just
you,
kill him.
Before we get to the... Okay, just you can saying, cut all that out, so keep, let's go.
Yeah. Just saying, ultimately, Deadpool would kill one person, but wouldn't kill one person if it was a kid.
He was to save the rest getting of ready to shoot three people to save all of the kids. What?
And then he wouldn't let Cable kill the one kid to save, like, hundreds and thousands of people.
That kid didn't say he was going to build a bomb.
He didn't make
he
a video.
He had bombs in his hands.
His question is like literally the baby Hitler question, not like...
This is more the baby Hitler than
yeah,
the other
this
one.
Isn't like the...
This is definitely did, more baby Hitler.
Did I place four bombs in across this country question?
So, yeah. No, I can see that.
So now that we cut all this out, let's move on to Deadpool.
Okay. So yeah, guys, what were your initial thoughts? Like, what were you thinking of when you went in? Like, were you hyped, not hyped, kind of hyped? How are you feeling for this movie?
Initial thoughts or, like, after we got out?
Initial thoughts of the movie and then when you got out.
Okay.
Somebody.
I saw Matt was going first because he, like, asked the follow-up question. And I know he's really excited about the movie, so I'll let Matt go first.
So one of my initial thoughts was I was really excited for this movie, and then I was very, very sad and depressed when Kate said I bought tickets, and I thought it was for Deadpool 2, and she goes, I bought solo tickets, and then I just got really sad, and I said, I don't want to see this fucking movie, why are we not going to see Deadpool? And then she went and bought Deadpool tickets. So
I had both sites pulled up, just so you know, audiences, and I was buying Deadpool tickets right after.
You should have bought them
first. I was there. Like, I was on the Discord with you when that happened, so I can confirm.
I had both movies up.
But anyways, and as far as when I left it, I love this movie. I thought it was great. And I'm sure we'll get into more of it, but I actually enjoyed this movie more than Infinity War. So
yeah. Deadpool's probably one of my favorite characters. There was a lot in this movie that could delight comic book fans and also not ostracize non-comic book fans, or at least readers. And I don't even want to say just a Deadpool, but like of universes in general, because there are a lot of like comic specific references that get made. It was amazing. It gave me everything I wanted. Well, almost gave me everything I wanted. It took away something I wanted. But I actually think I like it more than Infinity War as well. Like, I'll go watch this more times. But I don't know if that's just because I had more fun in this movie and I was an emotional wreck in Infinity War, or if it was just better. So I need to watch them both again. But as of right now, I rank this higher than Infinity War.
Can I leave the podcast now?
Yeah, are we done now?
Yeah.
We got our rankings.
I don't even want to do this anymore. I mean, I thought it was good. I thought it was pretty funny. I mean, I expected, like, Deadpool 1 with updated jokes. And that's, like, basically, like, what I got. So, like, I'm not, like, disappointed about it. I don't think it's better than Infinity War. Like, that, I just can't even, like, fathom, like, this being better than Infinity War, like, in my mind. But, yeah, it was pretty funny. Like, I had a good time watching it. I thought it was hilarious. It's, like, the rated R, like, movie you think you're going to get when you go into it. Lots of funny references. Yeah, I mean, I thought, like, the third act was a little slow. Like, you kind of, like, understand, like, what's going to happen at the end. And they stopped doing, like, the jokes. Like, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was good. I think I like Deadpool 1 more because, like, Deadpool 1 was, like, this, like, unexpected thing of, like, whoa, they're actually doing this. And Deadpool 2 was just, like, more of, like, doing what you did in Deadpool 1 and kind of, like, upping the ante on it. So I think I like Deadpool 1 more as, like, when I first watched Deadpool 1 compared to, like, when I watched Deadpool 2, I just had more fun watching Deadpool 1 because I was like, whoa, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But I really like this movie. I thought it was really good. Like, I'll go watch it again for sure.
Yeah. No, I think ultimately, so have either of y'all read Deadpool comics?
I've read one.
Also read one.
Okay. So I honestly think that's why I have such, like, a really cool, like, I don't know, there was just so much that happened that, like, they finally balanced that we're going to give you all these Easter eggs and allude to things in the comics without ostracizing people. Like, in a really, like, unique way that Fox hasn't done before. Because Deadpool 1, I thought, was kind of light on a lot of the simple, like, comic stuff. And I thought this one was really heavy with it. So, I guess, do you want to go through, like, the movie and then talk about, like, favorite parts?
Favorite parts or, like, characters?
Characters.
Okay.
Yeah, so essentially the movie starts off with Deadpool having to deal with the fact that his girlfriend, love of his life, Vanessa, played by Morena Barcain, I don't know, say her last name. She's a Firefly. And so she dies, and then Deadpool joins the X-Men for a little bit and then isn't, and I don't know, there's so much I really don't know how to talk about this movie because it's everywhere, but there's also like a concise storyline.
You're doing this very bad.
I am.
So basically it starts out with he's hunting down a lot of people for hire, as he says, because he's a mercenary. They finally catch up with him. The one person he couldn't kill, they kill his Vanessa, his love of his life or whatever. She dies, he goes to depression, he goes to X-Men to try to help him, and then he basically sees a little kid because they go find other mutants who he finds are being abused, and so he starts shooting pedophiles in the head and gets kicked out of X-Men, thrown in prison. Cable comes back, realizes, and then he thinks you think it's led to believe they're trying to kill Deadpool from stopping to ruin the history of killing his family, but you find out it's actually the little boy. They break out of prison. He then forms his own team, X-Force. They go, do you want me to spoil that too?
No, we can talk about that in
a second. X-Force jumps out of a plane. Then they basically, Cable hunts him down, they transport, the kid, while in prison, gotten left behind by Deadpool, essentially forms off with the Juggernaut, who then, basically, them two escape, after ripping Deadpool in complete half, and so then, basically, Cable comes back, meets up with Deadpool, says, hey, I need to form an alliance, I just want to save this, I want to kill this kid before he takes over the world and kills everybody, the baby Hitler question. And then lead to, they know where he's going. He's going to kill the schoolhouse master, the guy who basically been abusing him and all the other mutants in the school. Basically, the point of, like, a church, some sort. The regular church people. Basically, they go to stop him. Deadpool says he agrees to help him so long as he gets a chance to talk to his kid. They try to talk to him. He doesn't. Deadpool takes a bullet for the kid. The kid realizes, oh my gosh, he was willing to die for me, and changes his ways, and they live happily ever after.
And Deadpool and Colossus ride off into the sunset.
Well, I think they all rode off in the sunset or walked.
But I love those two more.
But that is your basic plot line summary in about 2 minutes.
See? It's so cool when you do it.
I know, you were just embarrassing yourself. We had to get something going.
I know. No. So, yeah. Guys. With that first point, I think this is one of the reasons why I really like the movie. So, in the comics, Deadpool has a really big relationship with death, and mainly he's always trying to get back to her and meet her, and because he has, like, these moments where he dies, and then he comes back to life, he only, you know, meets her in glimpses and stuff, and so, since Deadpool 1, it was kind of like, oh, are they gonna make Vanessa death? What's gonna happen? Oh, no, I guess I can't do that. But Vanessa is very explicitly death, because Wade keeps dying and keeps trying to see more of her and cross over, and that's how he ends up finding out how he needs to help the kid. So that was something I really appreciated from the comic standpoint. And the fact that they did it in such an accessible way is what I really, really liked.
Yeah, I mean, I like that storyline. Like, that's, like, my favorite storyline of, like, the movie. The whole, you know, saving the kid stuff was, like, okay. But I didn't know, like, I could... So, like, watching this movie, I'm like, I don't understand if they're trying to be, like, meta with, like, what they're trying to get across or not. Like, are they basically kind of sort of doing, like, the Logan storyline of, like, Logan protecting the kid and, like, Deadpool protecting the kid because, like, they referenced Logan at the beginning of the movie? Or is that just, like what they were going with?
I think that's just what they were going with.
So, basically, we had Logan protect kid type theme, and then apparently we had the whole fridging of Vanessa somehow theme.
They didn't fridge Vanessa.
Oh, you might want to get on the internet, then.
I'm not gonna get on the internet. Fucking people don't know what the word fridge means.
Apparently the writers didn't either until people started yelling that, like, there's a giant cultural gap between genders and comics because...
There is, but this isn't one of them because Vanessa was supposed to be the role of death from the very fucking beginning, and...
I like the whole Deadpool-Vanessa stuff. That stuff was really, really cute and really beautiful, and I wanted him to get back there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think ultimately, like, I think they needed a way to have Cable introduced and a way to have Cable fight Deadpool for at least a little bit, and I think that's why they did the kid thing. I don't think it was a Logan illusion. It might have been, but I don't think so at all. Because, I mean, Fire Fist wasn't necessarily the future of all mutant kind so much as he was just a kid that was damaged just like Wade was.
But he ended up destroying half the world.
Yes. And Wade had to make the decision. So I guess, like, going into people, we can talk about Cable, because holy shit, Josh Brolin's jacked and really good Cable.
Yeah, he's just put him in everything.
Yeah,
like, that's what I said. I was like, do we get more?
Josh make him Brolin every villain in every comic book movie ever.
Yeah,
or at least like a pseudo villain, and like change it up on me later on. But like, make him the bad guy at first all the time.
Yeah, I love Cable, and I'm just blown away with how great he was on screen. Which, I guess for me, too, like, this movie has a lot of characters that I really love, and so I think, again, like, that's another reason why I think I, like, have such a great reaction to it, is because, like, I love Cable, I love Domino, like, yeah. I do think it's hilarious that the running joke is that Cable's racist.
Yes.
It is amazing.
Yes. My hero.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, the jokes were hilarious for sure.
Because
I think the one that... Oh, no, go for it, Kate.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think which kicked this off for me that I knew that I was going to, like, hilariously laugh at the whole thing, because I knew that they were just going to go full tilt on, like, the comic book joke references, is when, like, he was like, oh, I was saving kids from a tree or something like that. He's like, oh, I was... facing a mass superhero, then we found out our moms had the same name.
Yep.
I died in the
theater.
Oh my
god, they shit on DCU so much in this movie.
I died. Oh my god. That was the funniest, for me, it was the funniest joke of the whole movie, because I was like, oh my god. Oh my god. Martha's terrible. I like this. More jokes. More jokes.
So real quick question, is there a difference between EDM and dubstep? I believe there is.
They're supposed to be, but I don't think so.
I think they are, because at least from the dubstep I've heard that I know people classify dubstep, I really hate that. But I actually really love EDM music. And so I'm not really sure if it's just the people that say this is classified as dubstep or not.
I can't differentiate it in my head. It's all boop, boop, boop music to me, so.
Does anybody know the answer to this question? That's what I left, because I was like, I remember hating when people go, this is dubstep, and I was like, this sounds awful, and I hate this. But then I'm also like, I don't listen to a lot of EDM, and I'm like, I love this.
But isn't EDM just like, literally faster just electronic dubstep? Dance music?
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's like literally it's electronic dance music, so like, isn't like that like the broader term, and then like house and like techno are like the, like house, techno, and dubstep, and I don't know, I'm sure there's like other ones.
So see, that's what I was, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I think like EDM
is like the big genre, and then like dubstep is like the subgenre, and like techno and house music. I like house music.
Oh, I love house music.
I think dubstep's okay.
Because I do not like dubstep.
See, it's weird. I can separate house music. I can't separate dubstep from stuff. It's weird.
I know that's probably not relevant, but that did come up a few times.
It's relevant because Cable hates dubstep.
I was feeling Cable on that when he said that. I was just like, I don't like dubstep either. But then I was like, wait a minute, there is a difference, because like, I'm pretty sure they had the whole dubstep thing, and I was like, this is gross.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, I know
I think dubstep is just like more focused on the bass part of it than it is like the kind of...
Oh, is that it?
I think that's what it is.
Okay.
If I'm like, because if you go like what's off the movie, like it's heavy, heavy bass.
Yeah.
I'm also like not the person to ask. Like I don't go to like Electric Daisy Festival or anything, to be honest. Like I stood in the back when Deadmau5 was at ACL and like kind of like tapped my foot. So like I'm not like the one to be... Like,
yeah.
My wife's probably going to be yelling at me when she hears this. Like, hey, you don't know the
I'm
difference between these. What's
you
wrong with you?
You start this podcast going, maybe I should leave. Now I feel like I need to leave.
I don't know the differences. I mean, I just kind of put it in the background when I'm playing video games, so I really don't know.
So did Josh Brolin make a better Thanos or a better Cable?
I don't know. I think he played them both really well.
The only question I have is, because I know one of the first people that thought to be Cable was the Avatar guy, but no, James Cameron has to ruin everything and take the Avatar guy, and so I would really like to see him play Cable, only because he definitely has the old man part going, but Josh Brolin was really good. But that's the only comparison I go where I could say,
oh, you mean like the general guy? Yes. Oh, he would have been an amazing Cable.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was originally supposed to be first, but he's apparently going to be in Avatar 2, even though he's already dead, because screw James Cameron, and we're going to make a movie 12 years later.
Yeah, we just watched the first two seasons of Into the Badlands, and he's in there, and he's phenomenal, and he would have been such a great Cable.
What's his name? Stephen Lang or something?
Yes, Stephen Lang.
Yeah.
What his name is?
Yes.
Yeah, he would have been amazing. I would have liked him, too, but man, but Josh Brolin knocks it out of the park.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's the only. That's why you asked, like, good, better, and I was just like, that's the only comparison I know.
Yeah.
Because I know he was one of the popular choices, and I was like, ooh, and I'm like, and then I just watched, like said, the whole show with Stephen Lang, and I was like, oh.
No, I just think, like, I think Cable, like, what I love about this movie is that every single character was, like, the comic book lifted up off the comic page and came to life. And, like, I definitely think that dude would have been a phenomenal Cable. Like, Josh Brolin, like, he lives this role.
Yeah, no, he did a great job. I didn't want to take that away from him.
And the character design is so good.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think Cable also has some, like, my favorite fight scenes, and I really love his shield, which is super cool. But, yeah, I really don't know what else to say. I mean, like, the hard thing is, like, the big piece of Deadpool is, like, the jokes and the way the characters interact with each other, and I just think, like, my number, and I've said it in my review, my non-spoiler review, just, like, the chemistry between the characters is so well done, and that's why I think the jokes land so well. Because, like, a lot of, like, Deadpool calling Cable racist is, it's hilarious because of the way Josh Brolin reacts to that. Kind of, like, where the hell is this coming from? Also, Cable kills Black Tom, and it's hilarious because Black Tom is actually a character that teamed up with the Juggernaut before. So that's a fun fact. That's a little Easter egg. one of like 100 in this movie.
Okay, so I guess you want to talk about the X-Force, or you want to talk about Deadpool next?
I want to talk about Dopinder next.
Who?
I'm your Kirsten Dunst.
Well, he's part of the X-Force.
Okay.
In a sense.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about X-Force. We can start with the least important to the most important.
Brown Panther is super important, first of all.
Because he's alive still, and we're going to get to him last. So, what did you all think about him about Fox deciding we're just going to kill all of these X-Force people?
I wasn't really surprised by it at all. Like, I didn't watch any of the trailers for this. So, like, when they said the X-Force was here, I was like, there's no way they're going to put X. They're going to really give him, like, an X-Force movie. I think, like, the best part of, like, the Deadpool movies is, like, Deadpool. So I couldn't see them putting in, like, Terry Crews and, like, all these people into the movie and, like, having them bounce that off of and stuff. So I thought for sure that they were going to kill them. I just didn't think that they were going to do it, like, out of the plane. I guess until they jumped out of the plane, then I was like, oh, they're probably going to kill them jumping out of the plane. I thought Juggernaut was just going to kill them all. Like,
just rip them all in half?
Yeah, just, like, rip them all in half.
So, one, it was actually a shock, because at first I was like, they're not... Well, one, I'll say I was kind of like with you. I was really not that excited for X-Force like everybody was. I was like, Deadpool usually like to be the center, and usually with the way it is, like, you kind of need him to be the center. I didn't mind him having some, but I didn't like the fact that he had this all X-Force. What?
No, the best Deadpool is when he's with people.
Well, I wasn't going to say he had to be exactly by himself, but I didn't want a full, like, on team of how they were going to do all that.
Yeah, I was saying, like, when he's, like, with different people, like, all the time. Like, I didn't want, like, these same people for, like, Deadpool 3 or Deadpool 4 or whatever.
Okay, I was like, because the best Deadpool runs are not when Deadpool's by himself. Well,
I
wasn't,
no, yeah, no, I like Deadpool himself. When I'm he's, saying, like, bouncing around
everywhere.
Where he had
this everywhere. Entire whole onslaught of team, and they have to do an ensemble, yeah. And they have to do every other character and all that other stuff, and I was just like, I really didn't want that.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
And so, but one, I didn't think they're actually, so I wasn't really that excited for it, but then, like, I didn't think they're actually going to kill them all off. I thought it was just going to be a joke landing, and they were all just going to, like, oh, yeah, and then all of a sudden they just all start dying.
Well, so, like, on that note, I thought it was just going to be, like, everybody's going to have rough landings.
Yeah.
Because Terry Crews hits the bus, which, this is what it took away from me. Terry Crews deserves to be a superhero.
Yo, that was, like, the thing I was most excited for. I didn't know Terry Crews was in this movie, so when I saw him, I was like, oh yeah, we're going to get Terry Crews. And then he died, like, first.
Okay.
It's so sad.
My theory is that he didn't die because they show him on a stretcher. He's the only one that isn't, like, completely, and Sugar Bear, like, who aren't completely dead. Like, he was on a stretcher, there is a chance. And in his character of Bedlam, it has actually, like, a really interesting background and, like, story in the X-Men universe.
Yeah, Terry Crews is such a kind soul. He deserves to be in the MCU or in a comic movie in general.
He was, and then he jumped up out of a plane.
He deserves it. I need him.
It hurts. It hurts.
Yeah, like, I thought Terry Crews hit the bus, like, ooh, that's some bad, no big deal. And then all of a sudden, helicopter, wood
my
chipper,
boy,
acid.
Louis Tan.
Yeah, Louis Tan too. They killed him.
That hurt.
Yeah.
But it mostly hurt because I love... So, Louis Tan played Shatterstar, which was another member. He is from the Mojoverse. He is the son of Dazzler and what's his face? Don't forget.
Ooh, I like Dazzler. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he's from the Mojoverse. The Mojoverse gives us some, like, the really great, like, freaking things. So, like, I wanted it to be this giant event eventually, but he's dead now. And green goop on the windshield. So, that happened. Who else? Brad Pitt was the Vanisher.
Great.
Which was, like, Brad Pitt is in the movie for, like, a second when he gets electrocuted and dies.
Which one, we still didn't know to that point whether they were just throwing a bag.
Yep. Pretty much. Then you have Zeitgeist, who is played by Bill Skarsgård. Zeitgeist has, like, a really minimal history in the comics. He does have a history in it, but it's kind of weird. And super, super small. He spits acid. He goes into a wood chipper. And then you have Peter. Peter with no problems. Who pointed out what, Matt?
What?
What kills more than Cable?
Melanoma. Which also is an interesting thing, because I kept thinking, wait a minute, has Josh Brolin killed more people this summer than melanoma? or not.
Interesting. Probably. Half the universe, I think, is more than
he actually does kill a lot of people in this movie.
He does kill a shit ton of people in this movie. But yeah, so Peter, so this is also where I have, like, one of the first things that I really, really like is Deadpool is calling Peter Sugar Bear and, like, hitting on him the entire time and saying how precious he is and, like, shh, I love it. Mostly because, like, Deadpool in the comics, like, hits on everything with a pulse and will have sex with everything with a pulse. And so I actually feel like in this movie you finally get some of those pieces, like, more fleshed out and probably with another character. More so than Sugar Bear. But Sugar Bear is a start. And he dies when Zeitgeist spits up on him and cuts off his arm with acid or dissolves part of his body. But Deadpool uses Josh Brolin's back in time thing to go back and save Sugar Bear.
Didn't care about any of the other people.
Just Sugar Bear.
Yep.
And then it brings us to, like, the people who are still alive. So Dopinder, who is in the first movie, he is the Indian cab driver who is pretty much Wade Wilson's right-hand man, and Wade Wilson protects. And he is Tom Cruise, and Dopinder is Kirsten Dunst, because yeah. Dopinder very, very badly wants to be an assassin.
Yes.
And it is the best, most well-used reference in this entire movie, in my opinion, because I love Interview with a Vampire. And then you have Domino, who, holy shit, so good. Zazie Beetz is so good. So good. And I love Domino. I've loved Domino for years and years, but I've never thought that she could be on screen because luck as a power. But holy shit, they did it so well, and I think Zazie Beetz, like, acted the fuck out of every scene, and just, like, her attitude was a perfect mix, and her fight scenes were incredible.
Does she actually know how to fight?
Who?
Domino, like, Domino? Before.
Yes.
So, like, where was that? I don't know the background story of Domino.
Yeah, so Domino is essentially, like, a secret assassin. She has a whole bunch of aliases. She is a trained sniper. She's military trained. She has hand-to-hand combat. But her main power is probability manipulation, which changes to luck, which is why she's a sniper. But she is also trained with a military background. Okay.
So that's what I'm saying, because I like the way they did all the luck stuff you were talking about, but then again, I didn't know her background, so I was just like, so is this person just lucky and all of a sudden just, like, a trained fighter? Or was, like, say, because she obviously looked like she jumped out of a parachute before while Terry Crews was hitting buses.
Yeah, no, she so, like, it's not just, like, pure luck. Like, she's trained, and that's why she doesn't, like, she gets the most out of her luck, yes. Essentially, because okay. she is capable enough to get that. So, yeah, I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought that she shined. So bright. I loved her.
Yeah, she was dope. I liked her a lot.
I thought she was really great. I thought they did, like I said, a very good job of showing luck.
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah, without, like, sure. being overexert too much.
Yeah. I also just like how she comes and she's like, why are you there? Deadpool's like, why are you here? The universe will tell me. I'm here for a reason. And then they show up and...
But it is. But it's not. But it... It kind of is. Yeah. Like, their interactions are super good. Like, they have really great chemistry. Like, watching those two kind of go through. Even, like, when she's, like, when you're seeing, like, her luck on screen and Deadpool's just in the back. It's like, is it even a superpower? Like, does it even work? I think it all plays really well together.
Yeah. I think also my favorite line of hers is just, like, I should have finished college. Yeah. And she has, like, a really, like, troubled backstory, just like Russell. And that's why she was there. The universe wanted her there. Okay, so now I guess to the X-Men, from X-Force to the X-Men.
Talking about the cameo?
Yeah, you're talking about, like...
Was it even, like, really a cameo?
Yeah.
I think it was a cameo.
That was a really good cameo.
It was a decent... I thought it was a pretty good cameo, because at least gave them some legitimacy to what they were trying to do.
It acknowledged that the X-Men still existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see for how long.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can't answer that question. I was just talking about him referencing.
Yeah. He is in the X-Mansion with Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Colossus, and Yukio. So starting with the least important, because they don't have a lot of screen time, Yukio, which I have some problems with, even though I loved her, and Yukio is so cute with Negasonic. But so Yukio was confirmed to be the Yukio from the Wolverine movie, which I thought of. However, she has the powers of Surge, which is a completely different superhero, and I don't know why they couldn't have just made her Surge and why they chose to put her name as Yukio. It bothers
because
me.
Because Hey Yukio sounds cooler than Hey Surge.
Yeah, that's accurate. That's accurate. Hi, Wade! They're just so adorable. And Deadpool thinks that they're adorable. And so she's pretty cool. Surge powers, so she makes things electric. Then you have Negasonic, who is back from the first Deadpool, but in, a smaller role. I feel like she is Deadpool's daughter, and they're adorable together. I don't know what else y'all want to say.
They were there. It was cool when they were there. They didn't really do much or add much.
Her powers are still really cool. But
I mean, they got beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was fine. Yeah. I mean, she kind of just did, the same thing she did in Deadpool 1.
Yeah.
Which is why I like Yuki a little bit more, because she kind of brought something a little bit different.
Pretty much.
Because they just made Negasonic do the same thing she did before. Basically call Wade a dickhead.
Pretty much.
And then just the banter back and forth. I wish they would have done, let her do more stuff.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
I was surprised they weren't in there as much, though.
I was too. I mean, I think it had to do because they had to build up the X-Force stuff.
Which goes back to the whole point of
do they have reshoots during this? Because when I was reading some stuff online, they said that Deadpool had reshoots, and that they have scenes of Terry Crews doing more stuff than was in the movie. So do you think that they cut stuff out of this?
I was gonna say, based on some of the stuff, the trailers and what they showed, they looked like they were gonna do more. But then again, at this point, I don't know whether it was just to highlight and then give you the twist or not.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought it was just filmed to do the
twist. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because I know the reshoots in particular were because the stunt woman, I'm going to get her name, stunt woman Joy Harris actually died filming the movie. She was a stunt double for Domino. So I know that's why they had a lot of reshoots. And specifically, I know that she had died doing a motorcycle scene, which we don't get with Domino in the movie. And I think that has more to do with reshoots than the X-Force part.
Yeah, I remember this all happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, Matt Damon was in this movie?
He was Redneck number one.
Yes.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Okay.
Matt Damon, job now. I'm telling you, it's all A-listers are doing. Cameo. Just pay me some money so I can make a cameo. People love it, eat it up. I don't have to do a lot of work.
Pretty much.
I still think the Vanisher should have been John Cena, but that's just me.
Ooh, that would have been so good. That would have been good. That was a missed opportunity.
Just me, though.
Yeah. And then you have Colossus, who actually does quite a bit in this movie. He goes one-on-one with the Juggernaut, which I guess we can talk about both of them, too. I think Colossus and Juggernaut fighting on screen is what I wanted Colossus and Juggernaut to be. It was so good.
Yeah, it was actually really well done. And the Juggernaut actually was really well done.
Yeah.
Because I think it was rumored that it was a possibility of him being in here, and then you thought about it as the movie went on, but I was like, this is either going to be really good, or this is going to be Steppenwolf.
Yeah. Sorry, Vinnie Jones, but I like this Juggernaut a crap ton.
But he didn't say, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
Which is, I guess I'm just insulated from all the people who are complaining about fridging and all that stuff in Deadpool. Because I just had, the biggest complaint I heard was that people didn't like that they didn't put that line in there out of everything.
I'm just saying, in a super, self-aware, jokey, meme-y movie, I thought for sure it was going to be in there at some point.
Yeah.
But then they didn't give him, a whole lot of lines, so I guess it's okay.
Yeah. No, but I really liked the Juggernaut. I really liked his interactions. I liked the fact that he rips Deadpool in half.
Yes.
Because the Juggernaut is actually the Juggernaut in this movie. And then I just really loved Colossus's relationship with Wade. And, Wade going to his window and holding his phone up, playing the music. Playing Take On Me. Or no, that wasn't Take... Was it the Take On Me song? No, it was Africa. It was Toto's Africa that he was playing. The music of the movie is really good. Oh, they didn't do the "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch," but they did do "Oh shit, oh holy shit," when the Juggernaut was running through everything. So that was, I thought that that kind of made up for it. That operatic Juggernaut song.
I just liked that he called Colossus a commie.
Yes, he did call Colossus a commie.
Yeah. I thought that's pretty good.
Yeah, I love that Deadpool like just holds on to Colossus's butt when he's comforting him, and then that Vanessa tells him not to have sex with Colossus when he last sees him. And Deadpool's like, "What?" And because like in the Ultimate Comics, Colossus is gay, and then of course Deadpool is Deadpool. So yeah, I really liked it. I really liked all of it, and they're such a cute couple. They are. They're adorable. Mostly because Colossus wants nothing to do with his shit, but still believes that eventually he can make him good. Yeah. Where else?
What else? Probably the main thing you're about to have to go to is probably the entire thing that ends up in the start with mutants.
Yeah. So I think one of the, I think ultimately, and why I really like this movie is I actually think this gave me more about mutants and what mutants go through and in that world and like better representations of these characters on screen than 6 X-Men movies gave me. Because a lot of it has to do with the fact that like mutants, when Russell Firefist comes up, which is the kid that we talked about in the beginning that Cable's trying to kill and Deadpool's trying to protect, he is abused in his orphanage, and then he's thrown into I guess like the Icebox, which is like this detention center for mutants, and you kind of realize that not everything is like the X-Mansion. And you get to see that, like, fear that people have and that awful mistreatment and, like, stuff. And I don't feel that I got that weight in a lot of the X-Men movies. Like, I thought that this was just really well done. Like, this was more of an X-Men movie to me than, like, a lot of them. So, because of the mutant aspect. I don't know what you guys thought.
I don't know. All I'm thinking about is, like, the stuff that basically, like, any scene with Magneto in it kind of gives me more than this did. And, like, seeing, like, some... What's the guy's name? Black whatever? Black John? Black Steve?
Black Tom.
Black Tom.
Yeah.
Like, because that guy just comes off as, like, an asshole. Like, the only thing that really gave that to me was, like, the kids. Not necessarily, like, the Icebox stuff. Which kind of leads to, like, pedophile... That guy's kind of a dick. I don't know why guy's always playing a jerk in movies, like the headmaster guy.
Yeah, he is. Because he just looks
creepy. He just looks creepy, right? But I can definitely see what you're saying. Like, there was definitely... I think for sure that this is, like, a better X-Men movie than, like, X-Men Apocalypse.
I think it's a better X-Men movie than Apocalypse and, like, X2 and Last Stand. It's, like, 3.
Yeah.
3 out of 6.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I'm all right with that.
Because I think for me, with the Magneto stuff, I think the Magneto stuff, it's usually just, like, his speeches when it's Ian McKellen, and in the retconned universe, I think a lot of his stuff is really centered around the stuff that he's suffered outside of being a mutant. So not just being a mutant, but his other stuff when it comes to, like, that weight. But I also really love Magneto, so.
I just always think of the internment camp scene with him whenever I think of, like, mutant mistreatment with him. The thing that I always just jump to whenever, because it's such a well-done scene.
Oh, yeah. No, I can definitely see that.
Do you like the kid? We haven't even really talked about the little kid.
Yeah, Russell. Firefist.
Do you like Russell?
I didn't care.
I thought he kind of
sucked. That's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't really care for him.
I haven't watched any interviews with this kid, so I don't know, like how he is normally, but, like, I feel like he has a super punchable face, and I don't know if, like, that's what they're trying to get across, like, or if that's just, like, kind of how he is, and he's just really good at playing, like, that kind of character.
Well, at least Adrian said that first, so I didn't have to say that, so I feel better. I didn't really care for him.
That's just how I feel,
man.
Yeah,
no, I'm saying, I didn't really care for him at all, and I was just kind of like, maybe Cable should just shoot him.
No, just kind of annoying.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. He was just annoying. I didn't like him. I didn't care for him. Like I said, I don't know what was supposed to... I don't know if it was because all the other characters and the actors and actresses were a lot better and well done.
Yeah, I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt and just, like, assume that's, like, how he's supposed to be. Like, he's supposed to come off as annoying, and they didn't, like, really need some, like, you know, they didn't need Daphne King to come in there and, like, knock it out of the park kind of thing.
You know what I mean? So that's what I thought. I thought that ultimately in the movie you weren't really supposed, like, you were kind of supposed to sympathize with him because of the whole, like, the orphanage and stuff, but I thought ultimately, like, it was Deadpool's journey, and I thought it meant more the fact that this kid was, like, this kid was a little shit. He was terrible. He was so bad. But
So it wasn't about the kid. It was about the person's journey, like in Logan.
No, that's fridging.
That was fridging then.
If it's Deadpool's journey, then it's fridging, isn't it?
No.
If it's a kid's journey, it's Logan.
He's trying, Kate. You gotta give him credit for trying.
I hate people.
That's how it works.
Well, fridging.
Come on, internet. Do better.
I thought he was supposed to be annoying. I thought he was supposed to be terrible. Yeah. And the fact that, like, it is super easy to just say Cable, okay, shoot him. Because he's a terrible kid. There's no saving him. Like, until that very last moment, there is no saving this kid. Like, at all.
Like, sad part was, like, it wasn't like I was against what he was doing and you felt for him, especially, like, at the very beginning when he talks, when basically what ends up, how he ends up in the icebox with Deadpool, shooting the guy in the head, which was probably one of the best lines in the entire movie. But even at the end, you're like, yeah, but I'm like, well, maybe we can just kill the headmaster, then we kill the kid.
Like, yeah.
I didn't like him.
Yeah, no, he definitely wasn't likable. I thought that was part of it, though. Like, I thought he was supposed to not be likable. So, that was just my take on it. But you all are right. He definitely wasn't likable.
Actually, I didn't want to say it, but I was like, out of all the characters, I enjoyed this movie, but he was like the one link of like, I don't really like you at all.
Yeah, I like CG, like full CGI Juggernaut better than I like that kid.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, and then here we go, our moral question about Deadpool. I think it, like, Deadpool kind of, like, brings up the fact that, like, you have to get a little nasty to do good, which is, Cable and him aren't that far off because they both see themselves as doing something for the greater good. And then, ultimately, Colossus is on the other side of, like, lawful good as, like, well, no, we can, like, there are rules for a reason and we have to do it this way. Whereas Cable and Wade are more on the chaotic good side, where they're going to do what they need to do to get good done. So
has Cable always been chaotic good, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best things about him.
Okay, I was making sure, because I was like, because from what I remember about the thing, I couldn't remember whether he was super chaotic good, or whether he was, like, more of a lawful, like, not even almost a lawful bad or something.
I mean, he's chaotic good, but he, like, I guess it's hard. I don't know if chaotic good is the right thing.
Yeah, because, like, even when he talks
to him, he has a really strong moral code.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because
I guess more, like, neutral good?
Yeah, because that's what I was thinking, because I was like, he's definitely not chaotic. Like, he was obviously willing to do what he had to on there for the logical point, but he definitely, even what he did not like, and most time, at least from my scene, does not like what Deadpool does.
Yeah, he's more neutral. Because he has his own moral compass that he's going to follow all the way through, and he's going to do it precise. Whereas Deadpool is kind of like anything to me that means. And then Colossus is just over here being a big old hunk of muscle, being like, "No, Wade, no."
Yes.
That was a really bad Russian accent.
Jesus. Not good. Not good.
So, I don't know. So, out of everybody we talked about, what do y'all think about those character dynamics?
I don't know. I mean, I agree. Like, I think all the character dynamics are great. Like I said before, like, I like Deadpool kind of bouncing off, like, not having, like, a super stringent home of, like, people to work with. So, you can bring in people like Domino. You can bring in, you know, other characters like Cable and have him, like, work really well against. Because, you know, Ryan Reynolds is just hilarious. And he works really well with basically anyone. He's like a really likable guy and kind of good guy to have on set. So it doesn't seem like it's hard for you to kind of keep it going. So I basically, I don't see like where like the ceiling is for them for like this kind of franchise. Like, you can keep giving me this and not give me any more X-Men movies, and I'm okay with it.
Accurate.
I gave up on the X-Men movies a long time ago.
I still go see them.
Yeah, I don't even care to go see them anymore.
I'm not going to go see Dark Phoenix, though, because, one, I don't care about Jean Grey, and two, God, that's awful.
I'm just going to act like that movie never exists.
That's what most people are doing. I don't think most people know what's coming out this year.
The real question is, do people more know that there... Actually, the better question is, do people more know that there's a Jean Grey movie in Dark Phoenix, an Aquaman movie, or a Bumblebee movie?
Oh, I forgot about a Bumblebee movie. I forgot that was a thing. Deadpool would have the right jokes for right now.
Okay. Yeah, dynamics are great from what they do. Like I said, I didn't... Kind of like what Adrian said. I don't mind them having other players and supporting around and having maybe even, continue thing, but I just didn't want a full ensemble of a team.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. I just really love X-Force, so I think that's... Yeah. Then I just think Terry Crews deserves to be a superhero, so I really wanted it.
Same.
If ever there were a person who deserved to be a hero. On screen, because I think Terry Crews is just an amazing man off screen. So I guess down to Deadpool. What did you all think about, I guess, comedy? Because comedic timing is everything. Some people don't think jokes landed. Fight scenes. And I guess just, overall how he... I mean, I guess we said how we thought he interacted with people. But, I guess, the comedy overall, did you think it was too much? Not enough? Did you think it was right on the Deadpool nose?
I thought it was very well done. I thought that most of the comedy was really good. Obviously, there were some that were, probably above a lot of people's heads. Because I don't even think there was a few that I probably missed. For joke-wise. But I thought it was really good. I think it was definitely really self-aware, which made it really cool. And I guess the, whatever, meta word. Just using all this new term lingo these days.
Don't hurt yourself.
I'm trying not to. But, no, I thought it was really good. Well done.
And I thought, like I said at the beginning, I expected to get, you know, self-aware jokes and stuff like that, and all of, the MCU jokes, especially coming off of Infinity War, I think landed perfectly for me. Him joking about, Winter Soldier arm with Cable, calling him Thanos. The Hawkeye joke was hilarious. When he's stabbing Juggernaut in the back of the neck, and he's the sun's getting real low. That stuff just kills me. It's just hilarious. So I think it all worked for me, kind of comedy wise. I don't really know if there's it's like Deadpool. So it's like a rated R movie. So is there really kind of a line of what they can say, and what they can't say? There's baby genitalia in this movie with baby legs.
That was the most disturbing thing out of this entire movie.
If you go into this movie and you're oh, I didn't really like that joke. Well, what did you expect? This isn't the MCU, or this isn't, the DCEU. This is a Deadpool thing. It's its own cinematic universe at this point. Especially because all the continuity is merging, and I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah.
X-Men is in here, but you also have the helipad things in the first movie. But then you're making MCU jokes. I don't know. It's all real, real weird. And I think it only works because it's Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. I do have a question. So, Celine Dion and Deadpool, they did a music video. I don't know if you all have seen it. It's called, Beauty from Ashes or something like that. It's actually a pretty good song. It's Deadpool dancing around in high heels, and it's amazing because it's so well done. But I want to know if that was supposed to be a direct reference to Thanos turning everybody to dust.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I know what video you're talking
about. It was the opening song.
Well, I that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
Maybe. All of your assumptions are right in this movie, I think.
That's true. Also, the James Bond opening looking thing.
Yeah, it was really good.
So I did want to say, too, one of my favorite jokes was the Rob Liefeld joke. It's he makes a reference to somebody's body, being animated, or being one of those illustrations from a comic book artist who can't draw feet. That was a Rob Liefeld joke, and I really, really loved it. So, that little thing, I would not get that type of fan service from another movie. So, what were y'all's favorite jokes?
I just went through all of mine. All the MCU jokes were my favorite, and the Martha one is my all time favorite. But the sun's getting real low one is hilarious. One, because like everyone like makes fun of that now. And I just thought like with Infinity War and like just watching Thor get Hulk get pieced up and then Thor Ragnarok also making fun of it, I just think it's a running joke now. And I think they pulled it off really well. Because I didn't expect that joke at all coming from this movie.
What were yours?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I just enjoyed, I guess, what we had for the most part of them.
Just all of them.
Yeah, I mean, some of the jokes. By the time of the very end, the MCU joke kind of wore on me. I was like, I got the first few; they were kind of funny. And then maybe after like 7 or 8, I was like, okay, I get it. Do we have to reference every single character?
I think my favorite one's at the end, in the post-credit scene where he goes back in time. And Hugh Jackman is there, and he kills Deadpool from X-Men Wolverine, or Origins Wolverine. And, like, pumps, like, 10 shots at him after he's already on the ground.
Yes.
And then just, like, waves and leaves. I think that was my favorite moment.
So are we doing a moment or joke?
Joke. It was a joke.
That was, like, more of, you just said your favorite moment.
But it was a joke.
Oh, okay.
That was a joke. It was a nonverbal joke.
That's okay.
Okay, whatever. The Rob Liefeld joke's my favorite. Let's just move on. Okay. I mean, I really don't know what else there is to say about the movie.
I would just say
for it's pretty straightforward.
I guess I would just go with basically favorite scene, because we already talked about all the jokes, and then we had a favorite scene or moment, I thought, which is that joke. And then I guess a wrap up or something else.
Mm-hmm. I guess, so what's y'all's favorite moments from the movie?
Deadpool Cable fight scene in the prison, probably. When he's, like, choking him with his broken arm. Yeah. That was hilarious.
Matt?
The other, I guess, would be technically a joke, was basically the other from that horrible Wolverine movie where he slices the bullet, and then he acts like he's getting shot up, cutting them all up, and then you find out that he completely missed every single one of them. He just got shot.
Those went through me.
Yeah, you think he's doing this amazing work, and he just wasn't even close. He was just swinging his sword.
So actually, my favorite moment from the movie itself, and not like the post-credit scenes or anything like that, because I think those are just great. My favorite moment is Domino being Domino for the first time on screen, like just like saying "fuck it," I'm just gonna go into the truck and like parachuting perfectly into the truck, and then like the awesome like. When she's fighting Cable in the truck, she does that where she jumps up, she holds onto the sides, and then flips over and knocks him the fuck out. It's awesome. Yeah. That's probably one of my favorite moments.
I like it.
Okay. So I guess final thoughts and ratings?
I really liked it. I think it's hilarious. I'll probably go see it again in the theaters, to be honest. Ratings? I don't know. It's so difficult to rate these things now. And this isn't like a comic book fatigue thing. It's just like they're just all so good recently that it's hard to like say which one's better than the other. I don't know. I'll go 8.5 out of 10. And no, I don't know where this place is in my comic book movie pantheon, because that's just too hard. And this is just so different in like meta that I don't even know if I place it in any of that, to be honest.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed this movie, and it probably rings back the whole moment of, like, I probably enjoy these movies more now because, kind of like you said with Deadpool 1, I'm having a hard time watching PG-13 and PG superhero movies now. And so I'm loving these rated R movies between the first one, which I was like, oh, this is awesome. And then we got Logan. I was like, oh, yes. And then I was like, came back to this one. I was like, yes. And it makes it so hard for me to, like, want to watch these PG-13 movies with everything that is so... I don't know, I like it, so maybe I enjoy this movie a lot better. I don't know if obviously it's a better movie per se than like Infinity War or some of the comic book movies. It's totally different, obviously, in classification of rated R, but I definitely enjoy this movie and liked it better than Infinity War, than at least what we have, but, and probably actually out of comic book movies so far for this year, yes, at least. Yeah. Which is kind of like what I've said about Deadpool 1 being really highly rated when we talked about it on last year.
Yeah. This is the funnest I've had in a theater this year. like I said in the beginning, I don't know if it's just because, like, Infinity War was so emotional for me that I didn't have fun. Like, this, like, as of right now, I would rate this higher than Infinity War. Because it gave me everything I wanted as a mutant and proud fan of, like, the mutant universe and stuff like that. I need to watch them, rewatch them both. But yeah, it's a 10 out of 10 for me. It literally gave me everything I wanted, and I don't think there's much I would change other than taking TJ Miller out of it. Because he's a dick. But that's pretty much it. Oh, and making Terry Crews a superhero. Make Terry Crews Colossus.
They already have a Colossus.
I don't care. Give him a role.
He's not a Russian.
I know. Yeah, so I guess a little bit of housekeeping, as we forgot to say in the beginning. Deadpool opened up to $125 million its opening weekend, which people were like, oh, that's terrible. It's like, no, it broke its own record because it is an R-rated movie. It's going to have a smaller pot than a, you know, an all-ages movie. So it did really well. It tripled its budget. It was made on $110 million, or almost tripled its budget, and it's grossed $312 million worldwide as of right now. As of May 21st, so yesterday. So yeah, it did phenomenal, and I think we're definitely going to get another one, which I read a whole bunch of articles or interviews with Ryan Reynolds, and, like, this movie is a complete labor of love for him. Like, he loves the character so much and works so hard to get it done. I'm just happy it's succeeding.
Yep.
Okay, so unless anybody else has anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
Cool. Oh! This is a two-hour movie that we like. I don't think we've liked a single two-hour movie before this. This movie's just under 2 hours.
That's cool. I didn't even really, like, feel the time when I was watching it.
Yeah, because, like, I think that's just something that, like, we've mentioned, is that movies that hit that point are, like, they're either not long enough or too long. So I thought that was an interesting point to point out.
Yeah, well, I don't think they had to add really that much people for background knowledge, per se.
Yeah, and they just get right into it, you know? So I think that was a really... Having it as a part two kind of helps them, because you're just like, this is Deadpool, he's a mercenary, he kills people, okay, here's the movie.
Yeah.
Which I think works really well, which probably is a testament to how they're able to get this across in 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, so, Cable... Good I mean, for they them. Gave you the moments for Cable. Domino, they kind of gave you a little brief thing about her, but it's not like an... Like I said, it's not an ensemble, so they don't have to have all these characters, every single background... We'll just kill him in the middle of the movie, and then we don't have to worry about it.
Oh. Terry. But yeah, so as always, thank you all for listening. And you can find the podcast at ButWhyThoughPC on Twitter and on Facebook, facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, SuperReese93, SuperRuiz93.
Yeah. I didn't come up with anything for this one.
Think of something.
I'm in an undisclosed location.
Okay.